This week on Vaticano, learn about the historic figure of Alcide de Gasperi, one of the founding fathers of the European Union. Sit down with His Excellency Mr. Alberto Ospina Carreño, Colombian ambassador to the Holy See, for a discussion on the role of the Church in helping with the peace process in Colombia. And join us once again in Quito, Ecuador, for part four of our series on the Center, a family of families that helps people break out of the cycle of poverty and violence. Vaticano starts now. On June the 6th, Pope Francis had to go to the hospital for a few examinations, but then returned to the Vatican. On Wednesday, June the 7th, the general audience took place in St. Peter's Square as usual. The Holy Father greeted the faithful, gave his catechesis, and then was taken directly back to the hospital to undergo surgery for a hernia of the abdominal wall. The operation lasted about 3 hours. The Vatican said that the operation, under general anesthesia, had proceeded without complications. The official statement said the doctor had found persistent adhesions between some partially obstructed midgut loops and the parietal peritoneum, which had been repaired by abdominal wallplasty using a prosthetic mesh. As a result, the Pope's appointments have been suspended. The pontiff will be recovering until June the 18th and will not preside at Sunday's Angelus prayer or perform Wednesday's general audience. Earlier this week, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis's post-operative course is normal and that the Holy Father was receiving physiotherapeutic treatment of the respiratory system. He has received the Eucharist every morning and can already return to his work. This isn't the first time this year that Francis has been admitted to the Gemelli Clinic in Rome. Already at the end of March, the pontiff had to be hospitalized for several days because of a respiratory infection. Francis's health, however, may also have an impact on the 38th World Youth Day, which is scheduled to take place from August the 2nd to the 6th in Lisbon, Portugal. Organizers said that World Youth Day is a meeting of the Pope with young people of the whole world. Without the Pope's presence, there would be no World Youth Day, organizers underscored. The major event was originally scheduled to take place in 2022, but was postponed until next August because of the coronavirus pandemic. More than 500,000 young people have already registered for World Youth Day in Lisbon.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. Now, Pope Francis said that others should be treated with dignity and respect, not as objects to exploit or throw away. Now, the Pope's speech was read out loud at a live-streamed event on human fraternity sponsored by the Fratelli Tutti Foundation, held in St. Peter's Square. Now, the June 10th event was called Not Alone and was centered on the signing of a declaration on human fraternity drafted by a dozen Nobel Peace Prize winners together with representatives of former Nobel Prize winning organizations. Now, Vatican judges found two climate activists guilty of criminally damaging the base of an important statue in the Vatican museums during a protest last year. Now, the prison sentence of 9 months each and a fine of $1,500 each was suspended accordingly. As part of the conviction, both were ordered to pay a combined approximately $30,000 in damages to Vatican City State. Now, the activists superglued their hands to the marble base holding Laocoon and his sons, an ancient marble sculpture on display in the Vatican Museums on the morning of August 18th, 2022. Now, one of Pope Francis's last gestures before undergoing abdominal surgery was to pray before a relic of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Now, the relic was present on the platform in front of St. Peter's Basilica during the Pope's weekly general audience for the 150th birthday of the saint. Now, before beginning the audience, Francis venerated the relics of St. Thérèse in a moment of silent prayer and placed a single white rose on the table in front of the reliquary. With clear words, Pope Francis has positioned himself against child labor. On Twitter, the pontiff wrote, "Many children, instead of receiving a good education, are exploited, subjected to slave labor. No effort should be spared to end the scourge of child labor. Now, children are our hope. Let us not allow that hope to be stifled." Pope Francis has appointed José Cabo Cano as the new Archbishop of Spain's capital diocese of Madrid. Cano was previously auxiliary bishop in Madrid and now succeeds Cardinal Carlos Osaro Sierra, who had led the archdiocese since 2014. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. My name is Benjamin Crockett for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. One of the founding fathers of Europe as we know it today, an outspoken Catholic, former Vatican employee, and a skilled politician. It was Alcide De Gasperi who helped shape the idea of a peaceful union of nations after the horror of two world wars, which both had originated in Europe. In June of 1946, he became the first Prime Minister of Italy, which marked the beginning of his influential political career. He was born in 1881 in the mountains of Trentino, into a very poor and deeply Catholic family. He earned a degree in letters from the University of Vienna, participating from a young age in many political activities of Christian social inspiration. De Gasperi dedicated his entire life to politics and helped Italy and all of Europe during the extremely challenging process of rebirth after the Second World War. He was hostile to the fascists and in 1927 was arrested and sentenced to 4 years of imprisonment. After serving 16 months, he was released through Pope Pius XI's intervention, and in 1929 became a librarian in the Vatican.
Alcide De Gasperi is probably one of those figures that you would call bigger than life in English. He had something more with respect to normal people. This isn't because he proposed himself as a superman of a charismatic leader. Indeed, he was the contrary. But he had the strength of coherence, the strength of the faith, which is the fundamental component on his human experience and the capacity to interpret the times. And this is the dimension of a true statesman. He took up a nation like Italy in desperate conditions. 6 out of 10 houses had been destroyed in that time period because of bombings. Italy had lost the biggest war in the history of humanity and had lost because it had fought on the wrong side. He picked up this nation that everyone would have willingly given a kick to, let's say, and he brought it in about a decade to the threshold of an economic boom.
Alla soglia del boom economico.
In search of aid for the reconstruction of Italy, in January of 1947, De Gasperi went to Washington, D.C. for a meeting with the Truman administration.
De Gasperi spoke German perfectly. He had great knowledge of English, but he didn't have a familiarity with the American world that others have had inevitably. He went to America in 47. He presents to Truman, to the Truman administration, a nation that must be reborn. America is the only country among the Allies that's open to Italy. The French and the English took a punitive stance. He presents himself to the Truman administration, his democratic Christian culture, which is something quite detached from the American mentality and the necessity of stabilizing Europe by stabilizing Italy. It must be said that the United States in that exact historical period in 1947 was the protagonist of a series of very high-level political intuitions. The Marshall Plan and also the opening of Italy.
De Gasperi's path was marked by a continuous and profound relationship with God, matching his religious experience with his political choices.
De Gasperi never distinguished the moment of the faith from the moment of politics and commitment. He was not clerical. He was deeply lay in his way of thinking, but of that laicite, that being deeply rooted in his religious experience, didn't need to show off religious symbols.
Ostentare simboli religiosi.
This idea of a lay state rooted in Christian faith united De Gasperi to the German Chancellor Konrad Adenauer and to the French Foreign Minister Robert Schuman as they laid the foundations of a united and peaceful Europe. The Union was thus born on the shoulders of three Catholics, three men from the borders, three men persecuted by Nazi fascist dictatorships.
De Gasperi understood that Europe was like a great oak tree that needs centuries to develop its grand soul, the Judeo-Christian roots of the old continent. So, understood that it was the moment to put an end for the 2,000-year war, this constant war that had marked the tremendous history of our continent. He came to an agreement with other personalities from borders. Adenauer was from the North Rhine-Westphalia region. Schuman was Alsatian. Everything was, I repeat, a conflict zone. So they had a great capacity for understanding that borders are there to overcome.
Alcide De Gasperi always understood politics as the highest form of charity, in the conviction that democracy can only be born on a sense of fraternity, a fraternity that had Christianity as its source. Catholic Church plays a fundamental role in promoting peace, integrating migrants, and seeking stability in the nation of Colombia. In this interview, His Excellency Mr. Alberto Ospina Carreño, the ambassador of Colombia to the Holy See, shares his experience of meeting the Pope and discusses the current relationship between the Holy See and Colombia. He highlights the Pope's focus on peace and the ongoing efforts to make progress with armed groups through the involvement of the Church.
It was very exciting. I saw that the Pope was very well, very positive. It was as if he already knew me. We had a very cordial chat, and I felt very comfortable with him, in spite of the emotion, because the emotion at seeing him was huge. When one practices his faith, being beside the representative of God on earth is a wonderful thing.
De Dios en la tierra es una cosa maravillosa.
What were the main topics of this meeting regarding renewal or activity of the relationship between the Holy See and Colombia at this time?
Colombia en este momento.
Son muchos temas, ¿no? Los que se tratan.
There are a lot of topics, but I think that perhaps what the Pope really has in mind right now is everything to do with peace, with the accords that are being made with armed groups. He's surprised, as we have been working on this for decades, but I think he is convinced that the steps are being made forward today. Now, today, the presence of the Church in the conversation is permanent through two people who attend the conversations. Now, they are always present, and they do not have a vote. I don't think they speak much, but the groups have wished to have the presence of the Church there.
Los grupos sí siempre han querido la presencia de la Iglesia allí.
¿Cómo considera el papel de la Iglesia Católica?
What do you think the role of the Catholic Church is at this crucial moment, as peace and the integration of migrants are being sought in Colombia? As stability is also being sought for the nation.
Sí, te voy a explicar por qué considero que es tan importante.
I'm going to explain to you why I think it's so important. I believe that to resolve whatever type of problem, it's important to know the problem completely. If you don't know what it's about, what are you going to see? How are you going to resolve it? Now, in Colombia, it's a rare town, city, or road where the Catholic Church isn't present. One encounters parish priests or missionaries, so to speak, in every place, and they know well each region, how each area thinks, how the indigenous think, what problems they have, and there are certain things that they have in common, and others that are very distinct to certain regions. So, if we wish to do something and to build peace, it's important that it grows from the base, from the foundations, from the people who make human conglomerates, and you have to get to know them. So, the Church has a great capability. The Church and the government can work together so that they both might understand whatever problem, so as to reach solutions that may be definitive. For this, I believe that in what has been done and what continues to be done, the church is transcendental. And now that I've been here, I see it clearer than ever.
Es trascendental y ahora que estaba aquí lo veo más claro que nunca.
¿Cuál es su opinión?
What is your opinion about the role that ambassadors have in this intercultural context in which we live, what with globalization?
Hacer conocer el país.
To make this country known seems very important to me. To see what a wonderful, extraordinary nation we have, its people. So, this intimacy with the ambassadors and what they can achieve, each one with their respective governments, is transcendental. That's why I hope to have access to those governments through their ambassadors to achieve very positive things for the benefit of the nation and the world. Now, for this, I think it's very important, the role that we play, and specifically the ambassador to the Holy See, because here, our role is to be very close to the ambassadors. We can set aside more time to dedicate to chatting amongst each other and reach agreements and getting closer with other governments. I've been here just 5 weeks, and as the official ambassador to the Holy See, I've been here for 5 days or less. Now, there will be a series of visits that I see as very positive, some with ritual, so to speak, and others that one chooses because I don't know how many ambassadors there might be here in Rome, some 120 to the Holy See alone, a bit more or a bit less, but there are a lot of people with whom to speak and from whom we can also learn a lot. So I'm ready to get started, as they say, from the starting line.
Como dicen, cero kilómetros.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ambassador, for this conversation.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
People in vulnerable situations that there's a God that loves and cares for them. We bring you the fourth of a five-part series following the work of a Jesuit center, A Family of Families in Quito, Ecuador, which looks to the Papal Foundation as a key benefactor. It's the only U.S. charity that exclusively fulfills the requests of the Holy Father. The staff share their experience with the Holy Father.
Te queremos mucho y admiramos. Porque tú has dado un sentido de misericordia a la iglesia, el día de hoy. Una iglesia que va a la búsqueda y al encuentro con el hermano que necesita de cada uno de nosotros. Gracias por mostrar que podemos aportar en la construcción del reino de Dios. Estamos unidos en oración. Yo oro por ti y tú ora por mí. Es lo motivante para mí y es mi lucha diaria de que ellos sean felices, que conozcan a Dios. Ese Dios que no juzga, solamente quiere acoger, abrazar, animar e ir de la mano con nosotros.
Pues cada vez que he ido, lo primero es la acogida, la solidaridad, la alegría de formar realmente una familia grande. Donde el amor, la fraternidad, la ayuda entre todos nosotros, en medio de nuestros defectos y virtudes, nuestras fallas de carácter, eso se queda secundario, porque lo central es que tengamos una vida digna, donde las necesidades básicas van siendo cubiertas. Comienza desde la infancia hasta la adultez, con todas las familias, ¿no? Donde el amor cristiano es lo que nos mueve, identificarnos con Cristo y ver en el más pobre al Cristo necesitado.
De acompañamiento espiritual, que es un motor principal que que me ha permitido ver la gracia de Dios, el paso de Dios en cada uno de los corazones de los hombres y mujeres, niños y niñas, jóvenes que hay aquí en este centro. Es ser un pastor que guía, que anima al encuentro de Jesús y de María Santísima. María Santísima ha sido pilar fundamental en los acompañamientos. Bajo la advocación de nuestra Madre, la Virgen de los Dolores del colegio,
la Dolorosa del colegio ha sido asumida como patrona de la educación católica en el Ecuador cuando se dio el prodigio, pero hay un contexto. Y este contexto es que el Ecuador vivía tiempos difíciles. Estaba la Revolución Liberal y por ende, pues, todas las instituciones de la Iglesia tenían ciertas dificultades. Cuando un grupo de jóvenes y niños, dice pues la historia, entre 11 y 18 años habían regresado de un paseo y uno de ellos, Jaime, ¿sí?, Chávez, él quedó viendo al cuadro y se dio cuenta que abría y cerraba los ojos, que era frecuente.
El Vaticano estudió este caso, ¿no? Llegaron los arzobispos y al final fue declarado como auténtico.
Quizás aquí contar algo que hace un año y medio estuvieron unos sacerdotes de Roma, que el Santo Padre les había dicho que si vienen a Quito tienen que visitar la Dolorosa del colegio. Sé que el Papa Francisco pues es también muy amigo, muy devoto de la Dolorosa del colegio.
María es una madre que acompaña hasta el último día de sus vidas, ¿no? Por eso la importancia de ver en cada aula a María Dolorosa, esa virgencita que quiso manifestarse en medio de nosotros.
Su Santidad, soy Jimena Guerra, médica del Centro Una Familia de Familias. Trabajo en esta institución por 27 años, en bien de las familias necesitadas y sus niños. Trabajamos también, no solamente con los niños, sino con todos, intentando que haya un buen estado de salud, para que no tengan las familias que gastar en medicinas, sino en prevenir las enfermedades. Esto lo hacemos una vez al mes y vamos escogiendo a los sectores de acuerdo a las necesidades donde viven más de nuestras familias con las enfermedades crónicas. Tratamos de hablar de prevención de violencia, promoción de derechos y prevención en el consumo de alcohol y drogas. Enseñamos tips para que la gente aprenda cosas y si de esas le queda por lo menos una o dos cosas de cómo alimentarse o cómo prevenir, nosotros nos damos por satisfechos.
We started in 1995 when our son went there to be a volunteer. I went down to visit him on a trip and had no idea what he was involved with and walked out of that wonderful institution wishing I had been live there and I could contribute to what these people were doing.
I think Ed and I came back, you know, we all live in such comfort in this country. And we thought, you know, you can't save the world, but if something is right in front of your face, you kind of felt like we have to do something here.
So, you know, really struck us that there's probably most grant recipients that's what they feel, that they want to be able to say, have the opportunity to say thank you.
Next week on Vaticano, the final part of our series about the Center, a family of families in Quito, Ecuador. We meet members who have developed trade skills to make a living, and the staff sign their letters to the Pope.